And you're Polish by heritage?
I am, yes. Yeah, my family, both sides.
So am I, except only on my father's.
How did you know? I thought you were joking.
No, I recognize the name.
Oh, a nice Irish name like that?
Yeah.
Schwakala. Oh, that was perfect. It's rare that anybody actually can pronounce it at all, let alone on the first try. Schwakala is the easiest way to go.
Yeah.
I thought it was an Asian name.
I've gotten that. People who don't know me have gotten that. I've gotten African. People have asked me if it was African. It's just even for Polish names, it's kind of unusual.
Okay.
Well, mine, the whole middle is silent, so I sympathize.
What? Yeah. Tell them your name.
Oh, my name is...
It wasn't cool until I got to college. I really hated it. Then.
My name was Braphus, and I mean, probably the same thing with you. You're sitting in school. They're calling roll. And my name starts with a B, so I'm on the front. So I just wait for a funny face and silence and say, here.
pause. Yep, exactly.
Is its name is spelled like B-R-E-J-Q-H-F-U-S something.
Yeah, it's got a sign.
Yeah, really only to put as many consonants in one name.
That's
is,
it.
It's just wrong.
Shall we give it a countdown?
Sure. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, my name is Mark Schwakala. I'm the writer and director of the movie Freaks and Errors, A Rare Collection, and you are listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
Return to sender. Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 55. I'm sitting here with Cash, Don, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Or you can call us and leave a message at country code 1-949-873-4298. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. And many more.
Yep, we keep growing. As we get more listeners, more people glom on to us.
So let's talk about stamps. This week we'll be talking about stamp news in memoriam. Hashtag stamp stories, hashtag Kickstarter, hashtag freaks and errors, let's get this film made. Cash's corrections and updates, and our expert topic of the week is a special edition behind the scenes look at Freaks and Errors, A Rare Collection. So, stamp news in memoriam. Cash, what sad news do you have for us today?
Well, Bill Weiss, who hopefully a lot of you have heard about, he was a very, very prominent expert in the field of philately. He died on the 12th of November, and I'm sorry to say he was a good friend, and we will all miss him.
So our hashtag Stamp Stories is going to be dedicated to the Kickstarter campaign put on by Freaks and Errors, A Rare Collection, until their campaign is over.
And again, everybody, I apologize if this sounds like a commercial, but this is a really, really good project, and I do hope that they finalize everything, finish everything up, because if, as we talk today, you're going to be impressed.
So you can find them on Kickstarter, look up Freaks and Errors Film, and it's by Collectors Union. That's the name of their company. So go for it, donate, and let's get this film made. And retweet, and like, and favorite everything, and let's spread the word.
And they give free t-shirts.
Pin it, Snapchat it, Instagram it, whatever you can think of. Just pay for it. Get it done.
Invent a new app to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
There's an app for that.
There is.
Okay, so updates. What do you want to talk about, Cash?
Well, I have a couple things. First of all, the Canadian... I know we have a lot of Canadian listeners now. The Canadian Stamp Market Quarterly is going to be coming out this month. So if you want to know how much graded stamps are worth, that book will be coming out. Contact PSE or do a search online for Stamp Market Quarterly. The second thing is that Arapex is coming up. We're going to be at Arapex. Now, this is a really long way in the future because it's all the way in November.
Oh.
But people, be aware that we're going to be at Arapex, and we would love to see you there.
So mark your calendar a year from today, pretty much.
A year. Well, it is next year. It's after January 1st.
he was being somewhat sarcastic, I think.
Oh, right? Okay. And the third thing is, now, I know this has nothing to do with stamps. I apologize to all the stamp collectors out here. But there was just this fantastic reworking of Star Wars Episode 1 and Episode 2 that me and Don watched. It's by Bandit Incorporated. He did a fantastic job. If you are interested in seeing a redone Episode 1 where Jar Jar dies, and as a matter of fact, all the Gungans die.
Graphically.
And the reason why their Gungans are even inside of the movie. He did just a fantastic job. And I want to give him a shout out and suggest people who are interested in Star Wars, do a search for Bandit Incorporated.
Now, is this like stick animation or is it like an actual legitimate movie?
It's obviously low-grade animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like let's call it South Park animation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very well done. It was incredibly entertaining. They had me riveted, whereas the actual episode 1 and 2, not so much.
Yeah. So, Sam Shure today, we welcome all nerds.
We do. Buy your tickets for the new movie now before they sell out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you hear they broke a record? They've already pre-sold $50 million in tickets.
Good Lord.
So even before it comes out, they're like number one in the box office.
And the smart nerds are making the other ones pay double for being lazy, not getting them ahead of time.
There you go.
Okay, I just want to bring up our mailing address again. It's Stamp Sure Here Today, P.O. Box 6170, Newport Beach, California, 92658. For all of you that aren't so tech savvy and would rather send a beautiful cover.
With lots of stamps.
Yes, we like fan covers. Those
still waiting for somebody to send a Monty Python stamp.
Someday, Cash. Someday.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was communicating with a person on Stamp Boards. Great blog site. I give them a shout out. Anybody who wants to see a lot of little patterings back and forth, go to Stamp Boards on, I think it's stampboards.com.
Yeah.
And fun stuff there.
This week is going to be a special edition of Stamp Share Here Today, featuring the creator of the movie Freaks and Errors, a rare collection. Mark Schwakala is joining us today.
That was good.
Thank you for agreeing to be on our show. I have wanted to interview since we started this podcast. So before we begin the interview, I'd like to play a clip from the trailer you posted among other places on YouTube. Would you like to introduce the clip?
Sure. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Yeah, the trailer is a... I put together this trailer to kind of attract people who wouldn't normally collect stamps to be interested in a stamp collecting movie. So there's a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of excitement, and I kind of leave everybody hanging at the end.
Ooh.
You mean there's intrigue with stamps?
Ooh, sex and violence, car chases.
Murder.
Really slow car chases.
Okay, let's run it.
I was expecting you. I knew you would come. Have you ever in your entire life seen anything so beautiful?
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about stamps.
The idea of stamps is that they were the introduction to the world, and that great men, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was a stamp collector.
I'm Ernest Borgnine.
Willis Reed.
Stamp collecting is number one. I collect stamps.
It's fascinating, intriguing, mind-expanding. That is the great fascination of philately.
I was unnaturally attached to that stamp. This little piece of paper could give me that much pleasure.
I wasn't into girls, athletics, any of that stuff. I never get out of stamps.
Things that I loved as a kid that, like, now when I find them as an adult, I'm super psyched about. I am such a collector.
Have you always wanted to go to Chile? Do you like teapots? I mean, it doesn't matter, because I guarantee you there is something in philately for you.
You're really trying to get more people to start collecting stamps again, because yes. It's kind of become a little bit of a thing of the past.
Rumors of the impending death of philately have been around a long time, certainly. One senses that they may not be unwarranted.
My kid can spend all day playing basketball, which he does, and to say, hey, no, there's a basketball series of stamps that Malta did in 1974, that just doesn't work anymore.
Not all that enthralled that this is what my life has become, because to me, it really means I failed at doing the things that most people have managed to succeed at.
I don't think that if this hobby fades, that it's going to represent some sort of signal loss to humanity.
It is
for its size and weight, the most valuable item in the world.
The British Guiana 1 cent magenta.
It is one of the ugliest looking stamps you can ever see.
Yeah. It's an extremely ugly stamp.
When there's only one and it's got a price tag like that on it, it's beautiful.
Pennsylvania collector Irwin Weinberg paid a record $280,000 for the British Guiana 10 years ago.
I only ever had one great idea. That was it.
Most famous stamp in the world. I don't know what it'll fetch, but let's assume for the sake of argument, it brings a price never before heard of by man or beast.
A rare stamp could fetch up to $20 million at auction.
That's like blowing my mind a little bit.
I don't know how people really exist without collecting. How do they procrastinate?
You have to have the strength of your convictions.
Okay, so can you introduce yourself to the world? Tell us about yourself.
Sure. My name is Mark Swakala. I'm a filmmaker in Chicago. I have embarked on a documentary feature, creating a documentary feature called Freaks and Errors about stamp collectors and kind of the world of philately. I've been working on this for longer than most people would expect, but really kind of focused on it for the past probably 2 or 3 years. But the film actually, I started this film about 10 years ago. So it's been quite a passion project.
So this isn't your day job, right?
This is not my day job. No, I actually work as a commercial director. And I found out very quickly that directing commercials and directing films was completely different. I thought it'd be a little bit easier to put together something that's, you know, since I had experience in it. And what really helped was the experience in the production of film, but not the actual storytelling, because you can do a lot in 30 seconds. And you can also do a lot more in an hour, in a long, hour-long feature. So that is basically my day job. I worked in advertising for years, and then I got into doing commercials.
So you're also from a famous line of stamp collectors, let's say. Why don't you tell us about your family?
Sure. My grandfather actually really started it. My grandfather, who passed away about 15 years ago, at almost he was almost 100. He collected for about 77 years. Yeah, he was and nonstop, and not just collected, accumulated. It was amazing. He started really in his early 20s. He came from Europe. He had fought in the tail end of World War One. He had also fought in the Polish-Ukrainian and Polish-Russian War. And when he had come to the States, in the war, he actually lied about his age, and he joined the Free Forces when he was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So he finally came to the States. He started collecting and never stopped. He actually had repackaged a lot of mail from Polish expats who were living abroad and repackaged them from the United States and sent them back to Britain for a lot of people who were not able to get letters to their loved ones. So he started then, and my father started collecting in the late 50s. And then he just kind of passed along. So from as early as I can remember, I was, you know, at stamp shows and stamp auctions and being kind of dragged around the world looking at stamps. I thought everybody did that, actually, when I was growing up.
Well, everybody at this table,
I didn't realize how many people did it.
So I know you went through some trials and tribulations and also did a really fantastic job, as everybody just heard. Can you tell me a little bit about what got you started?
It was actually, you know, I got started on this because I'm a big fan of documentary work, and I realized that a film, I mean, documentary topics range from, you know, some of the quirkiest to quirky and obscure to something that's a little bit more mainstream, and I realized that no one has ever done a feature on stamp collectors, and I actually couldn't figure out why. And then when I got into it, I realized why, because it's a huge topic. And I didn't want to do a Wikipedia page. I didn't want a history of stamp collecting. What I really wanted to do is kind of get a little bit more into nuts and bolts of why people collect. And if you look at most categories, hobbies like stamp collecting, there's very few that have lifelong collectors. I mean, people start with baseball cards and then drop them, or people start with coins early and then maybe go back to them. But stamps really hold collectors almost like a badge of honor if you've actually collected your whole life. And there's a lot more collectors out there that collect stamps, lifelong stamp collectors, than there are other things. And so that kind of intrigued me. And also I was just intrigued on, you know, what made collectors so prolific in their collecting habits and how they connected with each other.
So you were telling me before about how sometimes you got very very talkative people, and sometimes not so much.
Yeah, I was, when I had started it, I tried to keep my family, it's really difficult, a name like mine, to keep my family's name out of it, because it's not very common. And, I didn't want to create a commercial for stamp collecting. What I want to do is really get in and talk to these people and have their stories kind of, tell the story of stamp collecting in their own words. And I also wanted to weave these stories together. And I thought when I had started that people were going to be lining up to get into this film because there's so many collectors, so many we knew, and that was completely the opposite. I mean, I went for about 6 months before anybody would return a phone call, and usually they would return it because they would just ask me if I was, Chuck's son. It was a big question mark, and that, which is great because then I could say yes, I am, and go talk to him. But I realized that this was actually helped with the film because I then realized that this was a very private thing for most people, and so this made me want to kind of dig into their lives a little bit more and figure out what made it so private and what kind of what was instilled in them to keep collecting.
I think I can identify with you because I take our Mike to Stamp shows to get interviews with people. And a lot of them are completely unusable.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, what you see in the trailer is just, I've probably interviewed, I've got about 90 hours of footage. And out of that, I've got about 36 interviews. The people you see in the trailer are people I've gone back to a few times because of the people that kind of stood out. Their stories kind of round out an entire film more than sound bites. I didn't want to just have a film full of everybody kind of answering each other's questions. I didn't want to have 30 people in there and they're all just kind of going through this with this little clip. I really want to get in depth on why people collect. And as it's gone through, it's interesting, like people like Bill Gross, who's not in the trailer, but he was an easier interview to get, being a billionaire hedge fund manager, than it was some of these collectors that I wanted to talk to. And still to this day, there are a couple of collectors that I really want to speak with who will not talk to me. And they've been all really polite, and I try not to push it too much, and I'll take it to the edge, and then I'll back off. But there are some people out there who just don't want to, or maybe it's just not important for them to tell their story.
Have you tried getting a hold of Mark Cuban yet?
He I got to be honest with you, he got back to me. I've got emails. He got back to me within like a day.
Wow.
When I emailed him. Yeah, I know. And I've got the emails. I was like, I don't want my computer to crash. I've actually taken screenshots of them because I was like, wow. I emailed him last summer and he emailed me and he said that he actually said he'd be interested in a phone interview, but he's just too busy to be on camera. And I've been trying to figure out how to work that in, but it doesn't seem to quite work out. So recently I actually tried to contact him because I saw that he had mentioned something about Shark Tank on the Shark Tank, that he was a stamp collector as a kid and helped him go through college.
Yeah,
so I kind of threw that back at him and said, hey, you're talking about stamps again. You want to get involved? Now it's been radio silence. So I think I probably used up my Mark Cuban credits. So, I hope not, but maybe he'll listen to this one.
So anything interesting, the other person you mentioned was Bill Gross. Anything interesting going on there?
Well, Bill Gross was fascinating because I, obviously, since I'm trying to do a Kickstarter, I don't really invest my money very well. And I didn't know much about him, and except that he was kind of untouchable when it comes down to, he's very private. Charles Shreve, actually, a stamp dealer, was very helpful to get me in touch with his with Bill Gross's handler. And I got they agreed to a half-hour interview. He didn't say half hour. He kept saying 30 minutes. 30 minutes exactly. And every time I got an email back, it was like, you have 30 minutes from the time you get in to the time you leave. And as you guys know, setting up, it's like we have lights, we have cameras. So I went out to Newport Beach. I got my crew together. I drove down from L.A. and I kept telling them in the car, and I was already freaking out about it because I was like, "There's no way." I said, "Start building the cameras now in the car."
Yeah,
we have to we're coming in hot. I was like, "We got to get in." So we got in and we waited. And at exactly 1:30, they opened the doors, and he wasn't in there. And so the light had changed, and we're getting this light from the south, and we're trying to figure out. I got to tell you, my guys were awesome. And also they put us in a conference room that I think was used as a training. A training area, so there's all these tables set up, banquet tables and chairs. So I'm just schwitzing, trying to get these tables moved out and trying to get the whole place set up so we can actually have a place to shoot. But at about 1:40, Mr. Gross came in, and it was awesome because he came in holding his tie, and he had a inverted Jenny tie that he brought especially for the day. And I was like, "Oh, how cool is that?" I mean, I thought we were just kind of like an annoyance. I always assume I'm annoying, so. But he sat down, and once again, I get a tap on the shoulder from his handler, who's a very nice guy. But he says, "You have now 24 minutes," and I was like, wow. "Okay, no problem." So we start talking, and 24 minutes go by, and then I decide to just ignore everybody and keep asking him questions, and he kept going, and it was a half hour. 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, he keeps talking. His handler's, giving me the, like, cut it sign. I'm like, well, he's just seeing me join himself. And right. I guess, and so at the end, he was super polite. We shook hands and he left. He had to leave there and go on Japanese TV. And at the time, this was 2012, you have to realize his hedge funds have, PIMCO hedge funds were having a little problem. Mm-hmm. So he had to go answer to a lot of investors. And afterwards, I got this really great email from them saying that that was kind of the most relaxing hour and a half that he has had in years.
That's just really talk cool.
About stamps. And I didn't ask him about, I wasn't interested in what he did. I was interested in why he would put together a collection like he did. And his stories were really heartwarming, and he got very intimate with us. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, we talked about how he was mentioned in an article. They retired his keyboard that he used to make his first trades on the internet to the Smithsonian.
Yeah, he's got a key. Oh, wow. His keyboard is in the Smithsonian. Interesting.
It's awesome. You see, now he's got his name on the Smithsonian, and he's got a keyboard.
Yeah.
He's got a double shot there.
So when you look...
go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. No. I am never going to interrupt you. Keep going.
The interesting thing was, the way he got started with stamp collecting was such... I mean, it's a very personal reflection on his family and his parents, and he really did a great job in putting together a collection. Yes, he's got the money to do it, but also he really cares about the stamps, and he cares what happens to the stamps after he's done with them. So that, to me, I feel like he is a great curator of the stamp collection, not just another wealthy guy who's buying up stamps because he can.
Very cool. So when are you going to have this film done if you get the money all together?
It's going to get done probably right after the first of the year. I'm looking for a spring 2016 release. It's been going on for a long time, and a lot of it has to do with, because this has been, it's been a very important project, but it has been a self-funded project, and I wanted it to be beautiful, and I wanted every production we put together is a full production. I want every shot to be beautiful, and I want to really give the feeling and give the stamps and the collectors their due.
Now give yourself a commercial. Go ahead and ask for money, because that's really why you're
well,
here,
everybody,
and that's why we want to have you on here, because we actually believe that this is a fantastic project, and we have, over past episodes, told people, directed them to your Kickstarter to say,
thank you very much.
Donate. This is, $5, $10, $15, $1, whatever. We can get this done with just the audience that we have here on this podcast.
It's funny.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And, the budget, coming from a commercial production, I really budgeted exactly what would be needed to get it to a point where we can do final finishing. And, final finishing on a film is you have to do a professional color and a professional sound mix, which I have a production company, but I have to take to a third party. But that's for a later date. That definitely will get done. I'm really excited about showing this film to people, not only stamp collectors, but non-collectors, because I've shown the first 5 minutes to a very few select people. Two of them, one of them is a documentary filmmaker who did the documentary SOM. I don't know if you about the Master Sommelier program, which SOM 2 actually just was in Napa for its premiere. And he was kind of blown away, and my friend Jason said, I didn't expect it to start this way. And that made me happy, because I was like, I'm trying to show people that I get the question every time I tell people what I do. I usually say I'm working on film and stamp collectors, and people, the first thing people say is, wow, people still collect stamps. I'm like, yes, they do. And a lot of them. And I got into it. And then by the time I start talking to people about the stamps and the lineage of stamp collectors and the amount the industry brings in and just the culture, the geography and everything else you can acquire from stamp collecting, most people are pretty much hooked. So what I'm hoping to do is make a film about stamp collectors for non-stamp collectors alike, and also make it kind of blur the lines between a fiction and non-fiction film. So add some excitement of the Penny Magenta story, which I think is a film unto its own. And so keep it kind of weaved through to keep people more excited about the end result. And the end result, I actually have, the funny thing about the film is I actually have the end finished to a point where it hasn't changed in the past 6 months, which means I'm kind of locked into the way it ends. And it surprisingly ends just like the beginning. It's a little bit more of a surprise ending.
Well, so, we're not going to ask for
So anybody who wants, anybody who wants to donate, I appreciate it so much. And we do have some great rewards for the donation and the support in the film. And we promise that we are going to get this thing ready and locked up. We did get a, we were in talks, and this might be premature, about showing it at the New York Stamp Show in 2016, which we were approached by a few people there, and I would love to get it in front of that kind of audience.
Excellent. You know,
that I think is a more global audience who can, I would love to see their reaction.
So me and my husband have worked in films, and we understand the first rule of filmmaking is do not put your own money in. So
You know why? I thought the same thing, but I was like, oh, how much could it cost? I was like,
So please tell our listeners.
This has been truly self-funded, and that's why it's taken a lot longer. Because since you guys are in filmmaking, I don't think people realize that every shoot costs several thousand dollars.
Yep. Oh yeah.
I mean, even calling, and you know, there are, you can only call so many favors. You know, before people are like, don't return your calls, and you know, between you have got a couple cameramen and the sound person and lights and everything else, plus rented equipment and travel. So, you know, the most expensive shoot we did was Monte Carlo, but we got some amazing footage. And you know, the least expensive shoot we had was at the Collectors Club here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But it does cost $1,000. So I don't spend my money on anything else. So this is where it's all been going.
So tell people how they can donate to the Kickstarter. Just for your information, our last report showed that we got about 84,000 hits. So wow. If every person who listens to a podcast just gives $1 a podcast to you, that could be 84 grand.
That would be phenomenal. That the great thing about that is that would alleviate, because I knew I was told when I was doing this Kickstarter to try to break it up into, like, you know, production, post production, and then do finishing, do another Kickstarter, which I have no problem doing. But if everybody gave, you know, if half the people gave $1, I could get this thing finished all the way through and have it ready for a theatric release. So what you would do is, I think you would go to Kickstarter, you know, kickstarter.com, type in Freaks and Errors, F-R-E-A-K-S, and Errors, E-R-R-O-R-S, and we should pop up, because we were a staff pick, and I'm not quite sure how they filter everything, but we've been popping up pretty close to the beginning. So if anybody wants to go in there, and I think dollars are lowest. We don't have a reward level at $1, just because I wasn't sure how many reward levels put on there. But you definitely will get a personal email. And I have to tell you, all the correspondence comes from me. Every email that's written, I respond to everybody. All the postings on Twitter and YouTube and everything else is me, just because I can't ask anybody else for favors.
I understand.
So how much is it to get in the credits?
It's a good question. Oh, you know what? Let me find out.
An executive producer credit?
To do a, your name in the credits at the end of the film, I think $500 an hour, you get your name in the credits. And then as you go up to $2,500, it's associate producer level.
Ooh.
Which would be fantastic. We have a couple people who've already given us, we have one person give us $2,500, a couple people have given us bigger chunks, which has been great. I honestly would give you anything. I mean, people can name their price, because I would be so excited. I'm really excited when I get people who I don't know donated, which has been awesome. Because then I tend to then ask them why they're doing it. Some people, because they're Doc fans. Some people just love stamps. Some people have told me that they've never, you know, there's people on there they haven't seen. Like a lot of people have noticed, recognized Lawrence Block, who's a mystery writer, and he's a screenwriter, and he's very involved in stamps, and you know, he's in the film, and he was a great interview. And so I think that there's a lot of people who are interested to see who's behind these collectors and the stories.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at your Kickstarter right now, and I want this Your Tongs Showing shirt. These shirts are pretty awesome. You're doing a good job with these too.
Okay. So long time ago, I had a t-shirt company, when I was in college. And so I kind of forgot about that. And when I started doing shirts, and people were asking me like, what, you know, I started actually with shirts, you know, things like, have you seen me, with a with the Penny Magenta on it because no one's actually seen it. But then it came then it came up to market, and I was like, oh no, that's blown. So I kind of started writing down little things. The Flatley gets you everywhere. It's very popular around the people I've shown it to. But I think your tongs showing, and they're a little tongue in cheek. But what I, as I said, I really wanted to attract people to the film and the industry and the hobby by bringing them into something they could find kind of tongue in cheek instead of trying to force something down their throat that they might not be into. And I think I've had a lot of people. It's interesting. The little group of people that my sister-in-law hangs out with, a lot of people who, you know, knit now, like knitting's really huge. And you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of people are going back to these hobbies that were really huge, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And they're kind of really into this. Like the 20-something sector is like really into the idea of stamp collectors because it's something they can get into now because it's kind of, it's trendy for their demographic.
My favorite shirt is envelope cover.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my that's okay. My favorite also.
I'm glad you said that because that's been, I almost dropped that one because I forget and I call envelopes covers.
Yeah.
And I remember how many times I've said that to people, and they're like, they'll be really cool about it, and then they'll be like, wait, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, a cover is a stamped envelope. Sorry, but I've never called an envelope in my life.
Yeah, when
I've
never
called tongs tweezers.
Yes.
You know, and it's so weird. I met my wife, you know, that she was like blown away by just things, this whole world, you know. Now she's obviously, it's been years, so she gets it, but stuff like that she always found interesting, that like, you know, I'd be like, hey, do we make covers around? And also she was amazed on how many stamps I would put on something to mail it.
Yeah,
that was interesting. I've actually gotten people in the film because I send them personal letters with stamps because I have so much postage. And so there's at least 6 or 8 stamps on everything I send. And people will call me back by just saying, listen, I got this letter and I didn't even open it, but I was like, who sends this many stamps on a, and real stamps?
Right.
Because we've obviously, like you guys, I'm sure, have a lot of postage around the house.
Yeah, one of our first Periscopes, people are like, I came over to a booth of covers, and they're like, why are they called covers? You know, because it was just people, you know how Periscope works, little questions come up on the screen, stuff like that.
Right.
I'm like, well, it's a stamp on an envelope. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes. That's the only definition there is.
It covers
a
cover.
You know, it's because you used to hand fold the envelopes or the piece of paper into your own thing. So I find that kind of fascinating. And we're going to, I'm going to touch on the history of stamp collecting in the film also. I'm not going to, as I said, I didn't want this to be something you could find on a Wikipedia. I wanted to use this kind of the stamp history to help, as a vessel to help kind of promote the other stories.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
So am I.
It'll be like giving birth, I'm guessing.
It feels, yeah.
You can identify with your wife, be like, now I know how you feel, honey.
Right, totally. Yeah, and I'm hoping it's going to be a very, at least, if it's not a beautiful kid, at least it's going to be a really interesting kid.
Well, thank you very much. I hope that all our listeners send you a good little chunk of change, and maybe somebody out there who is listening sends a larger chunk of change.
And I'll tell you this, it's so easy to give money on Kickstarter. I'm sitting here talking to you guys, running a soundboard, and I just logged in and donated $10.
I was going to do the same.
That's awesome. It is easier. It's true. It's easier than people think. And I think that they have made, and Kickstarter has it down. I mean, they do a really good job of actually making it really simple for both the person campaigning and also the people donating. So I'm really hoping as many people who are interested in either documentary films or stamps or both or covers will donate.
Are you comfortable giving out a mailing address if they want to mail you a check?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in Chicago. It's 2202 South Halsted, second floor, and that's Chicago 60608. And my film company is called Collectors Union, which came out before I actually started doing the film. I had this idea, but I think it works out really well. So it's Collectors Union, 2202 South Halsted, second floor, Chicago, Illinois, 60608.
So hopefully you get some nice looking covers out of this too.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, guys, come on. If you're stamp collector sending him money, don't use metered mail.
This is not cool.
I've
there's been times where I've had people panning me metered stamps, and I just kind of look at them and judge them silently. I'll take it if I need it.
We send out packages all the time from our office, and we get stuff in here too. And it's amazing to see a box that's or an envelope, you know, that's a like a 15x9 envelope covered front and back with stamps.
It's awesome. I've had this idea for a while to start a gallery called, kind of called Indirect Art, because I think it covers art. I mean, you're creating them with your stamp,
yep,
the cachet, how you're writing on it. They're little canvases. So that's why I think it's really cool about the covers, and I think they should be perceived that way, definitely.
Well, we will send you a bunch because we get, we have some hefty items sent to us, and they are plastered with stamps.
Imagine $30 of postage paid in commemoratives.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. 3 cents, yeah.
Right. It is. I do tend to overspend sometimes, but I think it's okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I really, really, really hope our listeners, come on, you guys, let's get this movie going.
Do it.
Yes. We're going to rally behind this, and hopefully we'll get our name in the credits by proxy.
Definitely. No, I will give. I said I don't. I want to launch this thing, and I want to walk away. I want to give everybody else credit because it really is a group effort, huge group effort. So, I wouldn't be here without you guys.
Well, thank cool. you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Okay, so normally in this part of the segment, I'd say drum roll, but we're gonna put the Jenny Sheet opening to bed. Yes, it's too visual and too anticlimactic.
It's very anticlimactic because now we know we don't have any. I mean, we checked all our envelopes already.
Mm.
And it was like, so now there's no real excitement.
Yeah, it took all of, 2 minutes to check like 40 of them?
Yeah.
Without opening them?
Yeah, exactly. Once the secret was out, yes.
Yep. And by the way, if you want to know the secret, again, go to YouTube, do a search. It's there.
So, Jenny Sheets, go find them. They're at post offices now.
And they're worth $12 each.
And hopefully, may the force be with you. Okay, you can email us at stampshowtoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook stampshowheretoday, and our website www.stampshowheretoday.com with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime. Country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to a Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting!
This is Eric Jackson. I sell revenue stamps, and you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
Hi, this is Bobby Prager with Gary Posner Incorporated, based in Long Island, New York, and New Jersey. And I just want to say that the stamp hobby is alive and well here, and we love buying and selling stamps. We pay very, very, very good prices, so we'd rather buy 9 out of 10 collections than just a very small percentage of what we see. Also, check us out on our website at GaryPosnerInc.com. You'll see a lot of great stamps at great prices. And any questions, just feel free to call Bob at 1-800-323-4279. That's Bob Prager at 1-800-323-4279. And my cell number is 917-538-8133. Happy hunting out there.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today. Return to sender, address unknown.